And that goes to anything in our lives that we're doing in Jesus Christ, to really put our trust and dependency on God, that some of the things that God will do is because it's His will, and some of the things that He won't do for us, it's still His will. We should never argue with God. It's best to let God do whatever He desires to do. Is anything too hard for me to do?
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul's life once left him empty and angry. He lashed out at everyone around him and almost destroyed his future. But everything changed when Raul put his trust in Christ and surrendered his life to God. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's story. Today, as Raul continues our study of Genesis, we'll explore a significant event in the life of Abraham, a man of extraordinary faith and perseverance. You'll see how even in the midst of his personal trial waiting on God for a child, Abraham was mindful of others and interceded on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Raul will give us a challenge to live each day with Abraham's attitude of trust and submission. Here's Raul Reese now with part one of the lesson taken from Genesis chapters 18 and 19.
In the first verse of chapter 18, we have the fifth appearance of the Lord, Jehovah God. And then the Lord appeared to him by the teraphim trees in Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. And then he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. Two are angels, and one of them is the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a theophany in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ before he came incarnate in the flesh as the angel of Jehovah. He says, and these three men were standing by him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the ground. Notice the humility and the hospitality that Abraham will show to the angels and to the angel of the Lord here. And what's interesting here also is that angels, they eat and they drink as they come and they take that appearance of a human body. We can see that here by the scripture. You'll see in a moment. He says here that he got himself to the ground and he was actually worshiping the Lord. And he said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight. He's not talking to the angels, but he's talking to Jesus. Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. How beautiful it is to receive favor from the Lord. I guess you could say that every one of us, before coming to Jesus Christ, this is actually the way we came to Him when we began to worship Him. And so here we can see the surrender, the submission, the humility that Abraham has to the Lord Jesus Christ as he calls him Lord of his life. Abraham now is close to almost 100 years old. His wife's about 90 years old. And God is going to make him a promise. Remember how Abraham tried to help God out? He listened to his wife when he should have, this was one time he should have never listened to his wife, but he did. And he got in trouble. 13 years where God did not speak to Abraham because of his disobedience. God was silent. This is now the first time once again in chapter 18 where God now appears to him and begins to speak to him. And this is the time now that it's the fulfillment of God's word, because it's always God's timing, not our timing, that now God is going to share with Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have a son, and that son will come right from their own bodies. This would be the son of promise by the name of Isaac. He would become a type of Jesus Christ. But notice what it says in verse 4 now. If he found favor with us, stay here. Please let a little water be brought, and let me wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Notice the hospitality that is shown here by Abraham to Jesus and to the angels. But then also he said, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts after that you may pass by in so much as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. That is, Abraham was going to talk to Sarah to literally prepare 22 quarts of flour to make bread, which was actually this flat bread like a pizza that would be laid on these hot stones that was made for the people. And what Abraham's doing here, he's just really going out of his way in hospitality, in kindness, in love for his master Jesus Christ. And then at the same time, he said this in verse 6. And so Abraham hastened, he hurried up into the tent and told Sarah, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal and knead it and make cakes, which was about 22 quarts. And Abraham again ran to the herd. He took a tender and a good calf and he gave it to the young men and he hastened to prepare it. That is, to kill it and to barbecue it. And then he's given it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? Now, don't think that God didn't know where Sarah was. He was actually asking the question to see if Abraham and Sarah were going to be true again. Remember, they already lied twice. He wants to see the heart of Abraham and Sarah. Where is your wife? And he said, here in the tent, Lord. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to this time of life. And behold, here is the promise, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent of the door which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old. They were grandma and grandpa. And look what he says, and it had passed the age of childbearing, which means it was an impossibility. They could not have kids. No possible way. But God, again, we're following the line of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Abraham is the father of faith. Look what he says. And she laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, now shall I be have pleasure, my Lord being also old, my husband now, having a child? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Jesus Christ is proving the faith of Abraham and Sarah, because in verse 14 he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Notice that question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That is not only getting pregnant and having a baby, but God providing for your needs. What is too hard for God to do for your life? Think about it. Is it hard for God to get you a job? You say, oh, you don't understand. I haven't been able to have a baby or something. Is that too hard for God? God knows best. He's the one that closes wombs and opens the womb. And that goes to anything in our lives that we're doing in Jesus Christ to really put our trust and dependency on God, that some of the things that God will do is because it's His will, and some of the things that He won't do for us, it's still His will. We should never argue with God. It's best to let God do whatever He desires to do. Is anything too hard for me to do? He says, at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. By this time next year, I'll be cruising back, and you're going to have a child, and his name will be called Isaac. Notice, but Sarah denied it. She said, I didn't laugh. Notice she's lying again. For she was afraid. God's grace covered her. Notice this. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Notice he confronted her with her lie. And then as here we see now Abraham and Jesus and the two angels, Sarah actually drops out of the picture for a little bit now. And now what's happening is that these three men had come, and their job or their mission was literally not only to come through Abraham and give him the promise of a son, but they were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the reason is because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, had come up before God. I wonder what God thinks today of San Francisco and thinks of New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, all these major cities that are covered with sinfulness, in Las Vegas, and all the things that are going on. And it's interesting because the Bible says that the cry of wickedness is actually in the presence of God. God hears what's going on. But I think there's a lesson for us here tonight to learn, because so many times we want to become political, which is good. We need to be political. And a lot of times we want to come against darkness and sin. But I think that the greatest weapon that we have against the enemy and against principalities and powers of darkness is prayer. Is the greatest weapon of the child of God. When people begin to pray and to intercede for whatever situation is going on, not only in our country and in our city, in our town, but even in our own personal lives. And this is what Abraham's going to do, because Abraham doesn't really want Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed. But at the same time, Abraham is not God. God sees already the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the reason that Abraham becomes an intercessor between God and men is because Lot, his nephew, lives in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he doesn't want to see his nephew Lot destroyed in judgment. You see? Living among the world. Remember that Lot, first of all, when they split together, they had actually a division between Abraham and Lot's herdsmen. And Abraham said, look, you take whatever part of the land you want. And of course, he looked up with his eyes and he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. And that was the first act of Lot backsliding back into the world. The lust of the eyes. He says, I'll take this part of the land. This is beautiful over here. So he went. And then the second step to his backslidden condition is that he moved next to Sodom and Gomorrah. God doesn't want you to be next to the world or in the world, but he wants you to be as far as you can away from evil. Because our heart is deceitful. We can't trust ourselves. Believe me, if you're not strong enough and you're not wise enough, you'll fall. Why tempt the Lord? Why tempt the Lord to sin? Or if you're going on a date, you're going by yourself, you're going to fall. You're going to be tempted. You see? Usually, we bring upon ourselves situations where we can escape, but we play with sin and then we pay the consequences of sin. Because God already has warned us not to do it, but we do it anyways. I've been in those predicaments. All of us have. And then we have to pay the consequence in our minds, in our bodies, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Because God has given us his word and he's told us exactly what to do and what not to do. What's good and what's evil. You see? He's taught us about our enemy, Satan. That he's like a roaring lion trying to eat up anybody that he can. He doesn't play fair. He plans while you sleep to entrap you and to kill you if he can. The Bible says he's come to rob, to steal, and to kill. You see, whoever he wants to get. And so here Abraham is realizing that nothing is too hard from God. But at the same time, Abraham realizes that these three men, two of them are angels. And the angels are going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're going there to judge Sodom and Gomorrah and to destroy it. Look what it says, beginning with verse 16. He says, and then the men, the two angels, rose up from there and they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on their way. He was actually dismissing them. And then the Lord said, shall I hide this thing from Abraham, what I am going to do? Notice the compassion of God and how God intends to warn us and to let us know everything that is going on. Here God, the Lord Jesus Christ, tells Abraham what he's going to do. Just like he told Daniel about the 70th week of Daniel. Just like he spoke to Noah, 120 years, my spirit will not always strive with men, then the end will come. God seems always to speak to his people, and he warns us before the judgment of God will come. God lets us know what's going to happen. And we already as believers know the beginning to the end, what's going to happen to this world. We're just kind of waiting for the hand of God to intervene or to bring judgment upon this world, especially in the days that we're living in today, the same days that Abraham was interceding, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah today. Watch what he says. Shall I hide this? And the Lord says, shall I hide this from Abraham, whom what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. You see, he's the one that is leading to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He's the one that is going to bring glory and honor to my holy name. I can't hide it from him. I got to tell him. Verse 19. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Did you see what he said there? Since Abraham was the leader of his home, God intended that his house would keep the way of the Lord. Notice, not only his wife, but his children. And to do what's right, and to have mercy, or to know what true judgment is. And then the Lord said to Abraham, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and because their sin is very grievous, that's why I'm going. Notice that. The outcry of the wicked in Sodom and Gomorrah was heard. I wonder if God hears all of these perverted homosexuals today that is really aggressive against Christians and against the church of Jesus Christ, because we call out their sin and we challenge them to repent. And that doesn't only go for the queer nation or the homosexual community, but that goes for anybody living a life of sin. Anybody that is living against the law of God. That when you're living a life of wickedness, a life of sin, the outcry of wickedness stands before the ears of God. And God understands what's going on here. And as God begins to share with Abraham, notice Abraham's duty now. Hear what he says. He says, Jesus says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it and has come to me. And if not, I will know it. You notice what he says here. He says, not only do I have the outcry, but now I'm going to verify it. And then I'm going to judge it. Then the men, the angels, turned away from there, and they went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood still before the Lord. Notice that the two angels started walking to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Jesus stood there, and now what happens? Abraham becomes the intercessor. He begins to pray. He begins to pray to Jesus. Listen to his prayer, what he says. Verse 23. And Abraham came near and said, Lord, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, God, I want to ask you a question. Would you destroy those people that are in Sodom and Gomorrah that are righteous, that love you and really worship you, with those that are wicked? You mean when you can bring your judgment down, you're going to consume just all of Sodom and Gomorrah, righteous and wicked? God's answer is no. God always protects the righteous. And so Abraham here is asking a good question. Is God fair to the righteous as he is fair to the wicked? Look what he says. Verse 24. He says, suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for 50 righteous were in it? Far be it, he says, from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes. Notice that. How about 45? How about 40? How about 35? How about 30? How about 25? How about 20? How about 10? And then he stopped. Because if he would have got any further, there would be zero in Sodom and Gomorrah. The only righteous one in Sodom and Gomorrah, believe it or not, was Lot. The only one. Think of today, if God was to actually come down incarnate in the flesh, how many righteous people would he really find in his church? Those that are really living a life of obedience to him. That's a very important question. It's always in this context that you don't find many people that are really right on, but you find that most people are carnal people. People that compromise their position with Jesus Christ. People that compromise in social drinking and fornication and adultery and lying and cheating and robbing and stealing. You say, that happens at the church? Hey, I guarantee you. Because not everyone's a Christian. Not everyone is right on. There's a lot of people walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. You see? Now, it's great because you're here tonight because you want to learn and you want to hear from God, but that's not with everybody. You see? There are people that are hypocrites. There are people that act. There are people that love sin. They love evil. And they live a life of wickedness. They can't ever get it together in their lives. They have a roller coaster ride all their lives. Never a steady walk with Christ.
Abraham provides an inspiring example of what it looks like to walk with God in faith and obedience, even in trials or seasons of confusion. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review the message you've just heard, we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of any amount. Our phone number is 800-634-9165. And when you contact us, just ask for Raul's lesson from Genesis chapters 18 and 19. To help you deepen your relationship with the Lord, we'd like to tell you about a hardback book titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. This resource from Jim Cimbala zeroes in on the challenges of following Christ in a society that's increasingly opposed to his truth. With true stories of fellow believers who have walked in communion with the Lord through all of life's ups and downs, you'll also be encouraged to find victory and absolute surrender. Act now to order Jim Cimbala's hardback book titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. We'll send your copy for just $10 plus shipping and handling. To place your order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. To order this book from Jim Cimbala by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also invite you to take advantage of several free Somebody Loves You resources specifically designed to build up your faith. Raul has a brand new YouTube channel with fresh content posted every week, and you can simply search Somebody Loves You Worldwide to find him there. Or download podcasts of his teaching via Spotify and iTunes. Every one of these programs is also streamable on any Alexa-powered device. Well, if you have any prayer requests you'd like to share with us, we welcome the opportunity to join you in lifting those up before the Lord. And when you contact us for any reason, we'd love to get your feedback. And if you appreciate what you've heard today, then why not help someone else by sharing a contribution with Somebody Loves You Radio? Every donation is tax deductible and is an eternal investment in people's lives all over the world. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue our study of Genesis, exploring what happened when judgment fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll see how God perfectly balances justice and mercy in all of his dealings with each one of us. Here's Raul now with a closing comment.
And it's sad because there are so many people like here in Sodom and Gomorrah that if the Lord was to come down and he was to actually search in the church, how many would be righteous, or that is, how many would be right with God by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I wonder what the percentage would be today. We saw that in the days of Noah. Out of 137 million people, only 8 righteous people survived the flood. After even God gave them 120 years and then one more week to repent, and they wouldn't repent until God shut Noah into the ark. And that's the way it's going to be when the Lord comes again at the rapture of the church. You see, there's a lot of people that are believing in the rapture of the church, but I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be left behind. They're not going to go because their heart was not right with God. That's why it's so important to live our lives as if the Lord is coming back right now. I find my own life that if I live every day when I get up in the morning, I make a commitment to God, and if I live every day as if the Lord is going to come back, I find myself that not only I get attacked by Satan, but I find myself that I have greater victories over Satan. And the Bible says that we are to live as if Jesus Christ would come back at any moment. He says he wants to find you so doing the will of God, not messing around and playing with sin. That's what the Bible teaches.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.